Let's open up in a word of prayer. We can just jump right in. Father in heaven, thank you so, so much for the chance that we have to gather together, both here in person and folks that are gathered in their homes as well. God, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for the fellowship that we have with one another because of the fellowship that we have with you through Christ Jesus. God, we pray this morning that our conversations, that the things that we discuss, the things that are taught, would be honoring to you, that would be pleasing to you, would be true to your word, and that would be edifying to each of us present and pleasing in your sight, Father. We put this time in your hands and ask that you would bless it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Can you unmute yourself, please?
I am unmuted, so you guys didn't hear my prayer. Now you need to mute yourself, otherwise there'll be a big echo between you and me, Diane. Like that. All right, we're going to get this. We're going to get this. Welcome back, everybody. Very excited to see all your faces, some partial faces. Are you still on? You're still...
We're all unmuted.
Yep, you need to, but you need to mute your volume on your computer. Not you at home, just Diane. You guys need it on to be able to hear me. How about now? Just working out some technological kinks here.
You wanted to sound like a baseball announcer, right?
Yeah, I like that.
And now, at first base.
Playing center field. Field. All right, now we're ready to rumble. Should mix my metaphors here. So, Alongside, that's the name of the series that we're getting ready to start. It's been something that's actually been in the works for a while, pre-COVID, and was something that I had wanted to talk about with you guys. And obviously, COVID happened, and we had some other things going on. But I want to jump back into it now. And I think it's actually really God's providence that we're going to start with this now, because I think it's a message, I know for me, and I hope for you guys, that is really... apropos, really something that we need to stop and think about and put into action. So what is Alongside all about? Basically, Alongside is about ministry. Now, before you go, you know, okay, turn this off, right? I don't want to hear, you know, he's going to load me up with some more stuff to do. Or, right, because I know when you hear ministry, you either think of, you think of Pastor Minner in the pulpit, or, you know, you think of some department in the church, like children's ministry, or the... Phone's now beeping at me. Come on now. You think of children's ministry, youth ministry, maybe the food pantry ministry. So what we need to do, what I want to do here is start off sort of recapturing for us the biblical meaning of that word ministry and the biblical meaning of the verb to minister. Because I think it's important that we get that and so that you'll understand sort of where we're going with this. Here's the verb, to minister. It's pretty simple. To give aid to someone, to attend to the needs of another. That's it. It doesn't have anything to do with a clerical collar. It doesn't have anything to do with a department in the church. The word in its essence just means to meet needs, to give aid to someone else who is in need. And so alongside, this series Alongside is really just about something that all of us are both called to do and equipped to do. And I know some of us like think our knee jerk is, well, I'm not equipped in many ways to help others. But we are, and we're going to see how that is as we kind of unfold this. In a sense, when you think about it, alongside is kind of a word that should describe what would be maybe like a Christian lifestyle. This should really characterize the way that we live our lives. Right? Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So what is the law of Christ? Anybody? Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. What would you say if you had to guess, like, okay, well, what is the law of Christ? Because didn't he come to, like, fulfill the law, but now there's this law of Christ. So anybody, any ideas? Right, love one another. You know, some people will go to the second great command, to love your neighbor as yourself, but Jesus really does take it another level. He says, love one another as I have loved you. This is the new command in the new covenant, right? So we are called to bear burdens. We're called to love as Christ loved us. So practically speaking, why would we be called to walk alongside? Why would we be called to walk alongside? And what we're going to go through here really is two big reasons. One is that we walk alongside one another because we need help, right? And we walk alongside one another because not only are we in need of help, but others are also in need of help. Like, I've got issues, as Lee said last week in his sermon, I've got issues. And that's what we have in common, because so do you. We all have issues. And you might start thinking, well, yeah, but isn't God enough? Isn't the indwelling Spirit of Christ enough, right? God's grace is enough. My grace is sufficient for you. And to which I would say, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, you may have heard, this is one of my favorite stories, and it's not a true story, but it's an interesting story. It makes a point about the guy that was trapped on his roof during a flood, you know, and he gets up on his roof and he's up there and he's praying, you know, dear God, rescue me from this flood. Save me, oh God. And then a boat pulls up and they say, get in the boat. We're here to rescue you. And he says, no, God's going to rescue me. And the boat says, okay, suit yourself. And they leave. And this happens over and over again. Finally, a helicopter comes and they're like, we're going to lower down a rope to you. We're going to rescue you. No, God is going to rescue me. Helicopter says, suit yourself. Off they go. Subsequently, the man drowns, right? The flood waters arise all the way up and he drowns and he's in heaven and he's like, Lord, I'm so happy to be here, but I have a question. Why did you not answer my call to save me? And he's like, what are you talking about? I sent a boat. And I sent a helicopter. And I sent all these people to rescue you, an answer to your prayer, and you weren't having any of it. So the point here, guys, is that we were designed, each of us was designed by God to need other people, to need other people, and to be needed by other people. We are one of God's principal means, not his only means, but one of his principal means for care and comfort to our brothers and sisters, and them to us. So the reality is that God has placed us in a family for a purpose, and it's a family where we need others and where others need us. So we're going to dive deeper on each of these two topics, right? The fact that we are in need, we need others, and others need us. And we're going to unpack them more as the next couple of weeks unfold. And here they are. We need help. Others need help. And God placed us in a family so we could help one another. It's pretty simple. It's like math. There's, you know, addition, which is about the level of math I can handle. So we need others. Let's start off. We'll start off with that. And again, I'm not going to go into a ton of detail here, but I would like to get these out to you guys now so that we all have time to talk about it today. You guys all have time to talk about it together over the week. And because next week, this is the one we're going to camp out on a little bit more and dig deeper on. So we all are in need. We all are in need in one way or another. Right? And it's not, being in need isn't something to be ashamed of. Although in our culture, particularly in our culture, it can be something that's associated with shame. Like, I don't want to be in need. I want to be, you know, I'm all about helping other people, but I don't want to be in need. And Scripture says that this not, you know, a weakness is not something to be ashamed of. It's something that we should embrace. And if I go to Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulty. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul's delighting in his weakness, not being ashamed of it or running from it, which is the exact opposite of what we do and what our culture teaches us to do. Like, I'll give you a great example. How many of you guys, when you learned as a young person, like, how to do an interview for a job? And I hope they don't teach this anymore, because it's the worst. As a person who's been in a position to interview people, I just laugh out loud when I get these answers. Share with me your greatest weakness, right? And what is the thing that we were taught to do? Pick out a strength. Twist it around, right? Oh, my greatest weakness is my perfectionism and my demand for excellence just really sometimes, you know, puts a lot of pressure on me. And I'm like, really? You couldn't come with anything better than that. Just give me a real weakness. Don't try to spin me. Give me a real weakness. But that's what we're trained to do, because in our culture, weakness is not something that we want to really readily admit. But Paul, again, he delights in his weakness, because when he's weak, then he can be strong. And we're going to unpack, what does that mean, and how does that work out? And we'll do that next week. But the other part of it, and this is for the last week, is that others need us. Right? If I have weaknesses, if you have weaknesses, then we can be sure that everybody else has weaknesses. We all do. We all have needs. We come to church, right? We come to church, we go out to dinner together, and, you know, we take a shower, we put on our nicer clothes, you know, brush our teeth, I hope. We want to put our best foot forward, and I don't want to dissuade you from doing that. Please don't start showing up here, you know. I like to see you all dressed up and looking nice, you know? But the thing is, if that's where it stops, if we don't get behind that initial facade, I don't even want to call it a mask, because, you know, it's the part of us that we're going to present to people initially, and that's okay. But if we don't ever get beyond it, then we're not really going to understand what the needs of other people are. We're not really going to know other people, and we're not going to be known by other people. So if you can get behind that facade, right, you'd be amazed that everybody else also has issues. Right? You might be going along thinking that, man, everybody here's got it so together. You know, Poe especially, right? He's got it so together. And I just don't. So I got to be careful, right? I'm sorry for picking on you, Poe. I got to be careful so that I don't let people find out, you know, what my struggles are. And, you know, it's because we don't wear those things on our sleeves, which, again, is okay. But we need to work on getting beyond that. And so that's where we'll end up. We'll get into a little bit next week, and then we'll get into it more the following week. And I do have one caveat here, because it's something that I've seen in the church, right? The pendulum can swing, you know, from one side to another. And I've heard people complain in their, you know, in their shepherd groups or their other, you know, their prayer groups, like, oh, this group is so superficial. I ask so-and-so, you know, how are you doing? And it's always, I'm doing great. I'm like, no, you're not. You're just not being open. Like, no, but really, I'm doing great. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I can't fellowship with you anymore because you're not authentic enough. And then you got people trying to invent things that are wrong. When, you know, I remember my mom once telling a story about how she, you know, she sat in a room of people and they were all giving their testimonies. And when it came her turn, she's like, had heard these amazing testimonies, and she's like, I don't have anything to say. So she made something up. And then at the end, she said, oh, I'm just kidding. Because she had their jaws were like hanging down. She told them about her. It was a really, really sketchy testimony. And I won't go into the details of that. Anyway, that's my mom. Love her. So we do need to be careful that we're not suspecting other people. Because we all have had phases. I mean, most of us, I think, have had phases of life where we're like, you know, spiritually speaking, I'm really in a good place right now. I mean, in my marriage, I'm in a good place right now. My kids are not at home, so I'm in a really good place for them, right? So we just need to be careful with that. But we also need to recognize there is a truth, and the truth is this, that we are all in one of three categories, and sometimes more than one at the same time. And those categories are, I have struggled, I am currently struggling, or I will struggle in the future. It's just a fact. And sometimes we're in multiple categories. Sometimes we're in all three of those categories at the same time. And, you know, what did Jesus say? John 16:33. In this world, in this life, you will have troubles. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. So we just need to accept and understand that everybody, we're not the only people that have needs. We're not the only people that have struggles. Everybody else does, has had, is having, or will have them. And we are designed to be helpers, right? God called us, saved us, sanctified us, gifted us, filled us with the Spirit of Christ, right? Peter says that we've been provided everything for life and godliness. Paul says to each one, I think I have a slide for this. Nope, I don't. That's okay. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for a reason, for the common good. So the gifts even that we've been given were given so that we can help others. So we've been designed to be helpers. And so in the last week, we're really going to dive in deeper on what does it mean to help? What does that look like? And what does it look like to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ? And how do we do that well? And it doesn't mean that we have to have, we're not going to all come out of here being counselors, you know, professional counselors. That's a relatively new thing in the church. The way that God designed the church is so that all of us could be edifying and encouraging and counseling one another. And unfortunately, now this is not a slap at counselors. I do some counseling, and in many cases it's a good and wonderful thing. But when we professionalize something so much, then the rest of us are bearing burdens, are walking alongside muscle, will atrophy. Because we think, well, you know, they're doing that. It's kind of like when the government takes over all of taking care of people's physical needs, right? Takes care of all poverty and all that kind of thing. Then what will happen is that the church, you know, God's government, will begin to atrophy that muscle because we're not using it. We're not training it because we think someone else has got it covered. So in this case, I think it's really important for us to learn how can we do this, and we are all equipped to do it. And then the last thing, it's important, when you became a follower of Christ, right? When you became a follower of Jesus, when you placed your faith in him as the Son of God, right, as your Savior, as your Lord, you had relationships that began, or relationships that changed. The first one was that all of a sudden the God who was your creator is now also your father. Right? Jesus, who is the king of heaven and earth, is now also your Lord, right? Your leader, your savior. And in addition to those relationships, then all of a sudden you've been given like all of these new brothers and sisters on top of it. And you become part of this innumerable, uncountable multitude of people from every background, from every ethnicity, every tribe, every nation, every walk of life, socioeconomic status, political background, all of those kinds of things. And you become part of this family that both of people on earth and people in heaven who call Jesus Savior. Right? Revelation 7:9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all the tribes, peoples, languages, standing before the throne. Now, Peter says, you are a chosen race. So God has taken this family. He said, no, there aren't multiple races. There's one. And you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that group of people we know as the church. And if you're like me, you probably grew up thinking that the church was a place that you go, or a thing that people, an activity that people do, right? It was a building or, you know, a meeting. But what the Bible teaches is something very different. The Bible teaches us that the church are all the true followers of Jesus everywhere for all time, right? And despite all of our differences, and we've got lots of differences, and if you look around it today in the culture, the focus is almost entirely on the differences. But that's not, you know, that's not what Jesus looks at. That's not what God looks at. It's not what he emphasizes. Despite all those differences, we're united by our faith in Christ. And we are designed and uniquely placed in a family to care for one another and to help each other to follow Jesus more closely. And when we do that, we are bearing one another's burdens. We are loving one another as Christ loves us. And we are fulfilling, in doing that, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. So, next week, like I said, we're going to go and we're going to talk about, this is, no one's going to show up. We're going to talk about our own neediness. So if anybody here is like, man, I just really need to tell everyone how absolutely needy I am, to next week's your week. So, but we're not just going to talk about that. We're going to talk about our neediness as individuals, but also how God uses that, how he uses it for his purposes, and how our neediness is actually a doorway into greater fellowship with others, and how we can cooperate with God in that work. So that's where we're going next week. And then, like I said, the last week we're going to talk about others, us meeting the needs of others, to kind of finish it out. So we have some discussion questions. And so those of you guys online, when I put these up, I'm going to They're probably too small for you to read them online, so I will cut and paste them into your chat so you guys can discuss them there. And after a little while, I will get back up here. I've got a couple of announcements, and then we'll close out with time of prayer. And so feel free to get some more coffee, snacks, and discuss.